Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 171. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
How you doing?
And sorry we missed y'all last week, but we're back with basically all the new movies that are in theaters. So
yeah,
let's just get right into it. We're going to start with the latest release, which is Disney's Christopher Robin, which... what is this? This is like a live action Disney film about this guy, Christopher Robin, who played with Winnie the Pooh when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's grown up now. He's in London. He's like a businessman. And he runs into his old friends again from the Hundred Acre Wood. I mean, I'll just start off. I think that this movie's fucking weird. And I think it's not a very good kids movie. But I had fun with it. How about you?
I really liked it. Thought it was super charming. I read a review that said that they didn't think that kids would like it. And
I don't think they would.
So I'm interested to hear why, because I think I do think it starts slow.
Yes.
It it shows off, well, it starts out back when Christopher Robin's a kid and he's leaving to go to boarding school, and then they kind of fast forward through his life, and then we don't see Pooh or any of the other characters that you're there for, I don't know, maybe a half hour, 40 minutes or so. But I think once Pooh shows up in London, like, it's a fun, like, ride. It's a heartwarming, fun ride all the way through. Pooh is funny. And once they get all of them together, I think like the antics are fun. I think that they look a little goofy. Like, they look like toys. like animated real world toys, but I kind of like it. I liked how they looked, but
I liked the look of them too.
Yeah, I didn't see it with my kids, so I'll have more. I'll know how like they'll react to it. They're going to see it on next Tuesday, so maybe I'll have more insight then. But I don't know. I enjoyed what I saw and felt it was fun. And
I the reason I don't think kids would like it, like, why I think, here's the thing, like, a good family film, in my opinion, you know, it has stuff for the kids and stuff for the adults, you know?
Right.
And I think that this fails on at least half of that equation. I think that kids will be bored by, like, the story. Like, it's just, like, all the main part of the plot, which is, like, this guy has to figure out a way to save his company money. Like, I think little kids are going to be bored to tears by that shit.
I mean, I guess that's the basic, like, driving motivation for Christopher through the movie. But really, like, the movie's about, like, not letting life overtake you and remember to have fun.
I think that also, though, it's more appealing to people our age than kids. I think it's like kids want wacky and zany and laughs, and like this movie.
Well, I
don't think it's that.
It's not, but like maybe I'm giving kids a little. And as I said, I don't know. I didn't see it with mine, but I don't know. I think like once Pooh's there, it's kind of like goofy fun, like.
A little bit, like, you know, when you say, you know, it's a fun ride, I'm like, my thought is, if it's a ride, it's a merry-go-round.
It's
not a Space Mountain.
Sure, but, no. But that's the thing. Winnie the Pooh has never been Space Mountain, right? Like, he's kind of this, like, it's this very mellow kids thing. Like, it's always, like, even back to, like, the cartoons, like, it's always been this mellow, like, it's not flashy. It never has been. I don't know. Maybe some of it is like nostalgia for that. Like, it's just like it hits that note. Like, it hits that mellow feeling, and then seeing like this man, this grown adult interact with them is kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, like I think we're in more of agreement than it sounds like here. 'Cause like I personally like had an okay time with the movie, but again, like I said, it's just a very mild ride for me from start to finish. I saw like some people saying like, oh, it's way too depressing and dark in the beginning, and I didn't agree with that either. I think
I
it
don't,
overcomes
yeah.
that.
I didn't think that it was like super dark. I did turn to my wife like right at, so Christopher Robin like goes to war and he comes back and he kind of devotes everything to his work so that to make sure his family like can be good off. And he's kind of a dick. Like I was like, Christopher Robin grew up to be a dick.
Yeah, he like lost all of his boyishness. I think that's kind of like, yeah, it's like the story of
That's, yeah,
this,
that's
right? It's
the whole
like
point is like he stopped having fun.
see, that's like the thing. It's like I think the surface plot of him having to figure out things for his business, I think that's more than kids, and I think the emotional story, kids have no way of connecting with because they're not middle-aged men like us. It's like I just don't
Sure.
know where the end is for them, other than oh, cool, we get to see the Winnie the Pooh characters, but.
The end is exactly that. That's where like you're seeing the characters alive in the real world. Like Pooh is doing stupid things like destroying Christopher Robin's kitchen and like stepping in honey and get like and then it starts getting a little more wacky and zany, right? Like where he goes to the Hundred Acre Wood to kind of help Pooh, and he gets stuck, and like he fights the Heffalump there, which isn't really anything. It's, yeah. I mean, I guess I see where you're coming from. I don't know. I feel that like kids will enjoy like the kind of like stuffed animals come to life type aspect of it. You're right. I don't think that the story is going to grab them, but I also I think they'd be fine just seeing like these stuffed animals on screen.
It was, I went on Saturday night of the opening weekend for this movie, and the theater was packed, like almost, you know, almost all full, and a lot of families. And for once, the kids were well behaved, and the kids were laughing at it, but like it seemed like they were just like laughing by what their parents were amused by. Like that's the impression I got, is like, because some of the stuff when they were laughing at, I'm like, that's not even really. It's almost like a confused laughter, like, oh, I think I'm supposed to laugh here. I don't know,
Like, why is this funny? Like, sure.
but I personally I went on an edible to go see this movie, so I was in a like perfect mindset for this movie. And this movie is the I like that my was my initial reaction on Twitter was this is a perfect edible movie because it's like this weird. First off, it's just weird. I think it's a weird movie, and it's like this weird melancholy, like, you know, it's like this sad movie, but like neither the lows nor the highs are, you know, the highs are not too high, the lows are not too low. Like, I don't think it, like, again, I don't agree that it goes too dark. I think the Slash Filmcast kept saying this thing is like a horror movie because the things look so terrifying. I
I don't
don't
know.
think
I
I thought
love
they
them.
looked cool. Like, I
Yeah.
like the look of them.
I like they look like stuffed animals, like
Yeah, I do
used
think
stuffed
that
animals.
there's something about Tigger. I didn't like he looked too raggedy to me. Like Tigger looked
Yeah.
too beat up.
Tigger's a little weird looking, but I thought Pooh looked great. Piglet looked good. Eeyore was good. I do
Yeah.
think like Rabbit and Owl were weird because they were like real animals. Like they weren't stuffed animals. They just
Yeah.
looked like real animals. It's so maybe Christopher Robin played with taxidermy as a kid. I don't know, but like, they were a little weird. And yeah, Tigger did look like somebody beat the shit out of him.
Like he looked like he was really old and worn out, and like his
Yeah.
fur is faded, and like matted. I don't know. Like he looked fucking weird. Like he did look kind of scary, but overall, like I'm not like it's weird because like I don't have the criticisms that a lot of people I guess are having of this. Like I don't think it's too dark. I don't think that they're scary looking. I think they're cool looking. I don't know. Like it's just. It's a mild recommend for me, like if you're in the mood for something like that, but like it is just, and also it's just kind of like a cinematic oddity, I think. Like it's a weird movie, I think. Like it doesn't make sense what the thinking was here, but very mild recommend for me. I'll let you close it out because I know you seem like you felt a little stronger about this one.
I really liked it. I do think it's a movie I think you might have to be in the mood for. You might maybe you do need a little nostalgia for like Winnie the Pooh and the characters. It is a little weird, like, but also like in can looking at what Disney's done over the last few years where they're adapting their animated properties into live action. I actually like this approach more than what they've done with like Cinderella and like I thought Beauty and the Beast was fine, but like this is like something it's weird, it's different, and it's not the same story we've already seen. Like it's a continuation, it's a new adventure with these characters. Like I really dug that, and I don't know, I had a smile on my face like pretty much
Yeah, I did too, but
every time these stupid animals were on screen. I really liked it. I thought Ewan McGregor was pretty good. I will say like he's really the only character like outside of like the animals, because his wife is hardly a character, his daughter's hardly a character. They're just kind of like placeholders, like they're not given any real arc or anything. But I think it all kind of relies on, you know, if you're in the mood for some weird talking animals, I liked it. I'm going to give it a 4, but I could definitely see where some people are going to come out of this and go, that was fucking terrifying or weird or strange. Like I didn't feel that way, but I understand where they're coming from.
I was on the right wavelength for this movie too. I'm gonna give it 3 stars. My disclaimer though is that I don't think it's a guarantee your kids are gonna like it, but
I
what do
will
I know?
I will let you like briefly at the start of the next episode, maybe we'll talk about it. I
Okay,
will let
do
you
it.
know what they think. I'm not going with them, so I'll be able to get kind of like a truthful impression. They're not gonna be like, yeah, we like they'll come back and tell me if they thought it was stupid.
Yeah,
So.
but some of your kids are a little older, right? Like where they might be able to understand it more. I don't know. I just feel
Yeah,
like
I mean there's a good range, like 6 to 15, so.
okay, yeah, all right. Well, I'll be interested to hear.
Yeah.
I think it's a miss on that front, but
Okay.
maybe I'm crazy. Up next, we have the film Eighth Grade, which is written and directed by Bo Burnham, who is he's a stand-up comedian. Who actually got his start on YouTube back in the day when he was like a teenager. I love Bo Burnham. I'm a big fan of his stand-up. His special on Netflix, Make Happy, I think is one of the best stand-up specials I've ever seen. And this is him writing and directing his first film. And it's basically a 90-minute panic attack about how it feels to be an eighth grader. Chris, are you a fan of Bo Burnham?
I liked that documentary that he did. So that was a Netflix documentary, wasn't it? Make Happy.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought it was pretty funny. He does like music and stuff too, right?
Yeah, it's mostly music. Yeah, his stand-up is mostly music, but
Yeah, I liked what I saw. I mean, I'm not like a huge fan, but sure.
And how do you think he did here for his first outing as writer director?
Okay.
Yeah, okay, me too.
Think he did okay. It's
We did not talk about this beforehand. I did
no.
not tell you what I thought of it. I don't think I mentioned how I thought about it at all. I'm like you. I think it's okay. I think that don't believe the hype. Because, like, if you watch the trailer for this
Yeah.
thing, it's like the trailer's like, this is the next, coming of age classic. It's that good. Like, the trailer like has these quotes from critics, and it has a very high tomato meter, as it should, because it is a likable movie, and I did like it. I'm just
Yeah,
saying,
I think
don't buy it.
Elsie Fisher, who plays Kayla, the main character, is charming. She's vulnerable here. She does a great job with all that. I think Josh Hamilton, who plays her dad, is really good. But it's a little bit weird, and awkward. And I mean, that's kind of what he's aiming for, obviously. But I don't know, like, so the movie kind of kicked off and put me immediately on like the wrong foot with it,
With
with
her
the
YouTube video.
yeah, and just like it, and it totally captures that age and somebody trying to talk to a camera and project, but like I could not stand the dialogue in it and the long pauses, and it's like, oh my God, I just want to strangle her. And yeah, I don't know if I'm the target audience for this movie. Like,
What's funny, the target audience, I mean,
I'm not sure who the
would
target
be,
audience
well,
is.
it'd be, I think that I would imagine if I was like her age, if I was an eighth grader, I think I would think this is a really good movie. I think it is a good movie. I mean, I'm
Yeah, I
not
don't
trying
think
to
it's
trash it.
bad. Like, I really do think Elsie Fisher gave a great performance with this. I don't know. I like the inner cuts of the YouTube videos and how that kind of relates to everything going on with her. I just didn't relate to kind of a lot of it, and maybe that's coming as somebody who's almost 40 years old. But I don't know. It did not capture me. I thought it was like well acted, well written. There are a few really awkward moments. I think the banana scene is
Yeah.
fantastic. It is a better scene than the apple pie scene from American Pie for sure. Yeah, I don't know. It did not capture me the like. And maybe I went in with like way too high expectations.
I think that's part of the problem that I think we maybe both had. I think I liked it more than you, maybe. It's just,
It's a
I don't
weird
know.
film to talk about.
Well, I think it does a lot of things that I liked. Like I like the YouTube stuff. I like the specificity of what it's like for kids nowadays versus how when we were growing up.
Sure.
It's a very it's a tough time, like going through puberty and all that, right?
Yeah.
I think that kids today have it worse because the whole social media aspect means that like there's like this scoreboard in the background of like when you and I were kids, you knew if you were the popular kid or not, but
Right.
there wasn't this fucking public scoreboard
Right, like
showing you, like reflecting that back at you at all times. And just like little things like her videos, if you look below them, they have like 0 views, one
yeah,
view, like.
when they like rolled by that, I was like,
So,
that's sad.
I think I captured that well. I think we're both in agreement that her performance is really good. Like she is a well cast too. Like she looks like a real kid.
Yeah.
All the kids in this look like real kids, I think. I think the writing is insightful moment to moment. I think my problem is it got overhyped a little bit. I had high expectations to begin with because I think Bo Burnham's a very good writer. And then I kind of, while it's doing all these things that feel fresh, it's also very much falling into the tropes of one of these movies, like the older adult figure who like is cooler than you think they are at first. Like, you know, how many movies in this genre have we seen? It's just like, and they all kind of do a lot of the same things. And it's like, for my money, you know, I think that The Edge of 17 is a step above this and Lady Bird, which, you know,
For sure.
got Oscar buzz last year. I think,
Yeah.
you know, Bo Burnham does enough. He does enough to set himself apart here, but I think the problem with the movie, kind of for me, is that like it's not building toward anything, and it just kind of like ends, and it doesn't know when it wants to end. Like, it felt like there was like six endings to it. I was like, okay, now's the end. Oh no, wait, now she's gonna do a YouTube video. Now's the end. Nope, there needs to be another scene where she burns
Yeah.
the stuff. I was like, okay, that's the ending. Okay, that's the ending. I kept going, but not one of them, and not the final one that it finally decided to end on, felt like a punctuation. Like, it didn't feel like an exclamation mark at the end. It was just like, all right, I don't know how to end this. So, but this is the end now. Like, I don't know how to end this, so I'm gonna do six endings, and hopefully, you know, it clicks. But
Yeah, we're gonna Lord up the Rings the last 10 minutes of this
I
movie.
felt
It's
that
only
way.
an
I don't
hour
know
and a
about
half
you.
long. And no, you're right. Like, it's like we're gonna have the scene, and I really felt that maybe they should have just ended it at the campfire, where she's burning kind of her hopes and dreams. But then, like, then it goes to graduation where she flips out on like the two girls, and then
That's actually one of my favorite scenes, though, that part.
it is a good scene.
And
Actually, I
her,
would have. I think maybe right there would have been a good place to end
yeah,
it
like
for.
right around there, you're graduating, and you know that, or have her going to fucking her first day of high school or something. Like, I don't know, fucking something instead of talking to the camera again.
Yeah.
But I do love when she finally confronted those girls. Like, you know, I viscerally wanted her to say those things. I was like, yeah, fuck those bitches. Also, the way she does it, like, she's trying to get everything out, but she's also kind of polite when she's doing it, and
Yeah.
she will not look them in the eye. I don't know. So, to me, there's a lot to love in this, but I just feel that check your expectations. And also, I don't feel like this is a movie you have to run to the theater to see. I think this is one that actually will play better at home.
That is distinctly possible.
I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna give it 4 stars. Maybe that didn't sound like that was going that direction, but I'm gonna give it four.
I'm gonna give it three. I thought it was good. Like, I just it's everything's about it just did not click. And yeah, I think the endings may have really like may have hurt it a little more than than it intended.
Yeah, I think he. I don't know. I don't know what he could have done. I think he could have had more of a structure, more happen near the end. But I think the things that he showed a lot of promise here, and I think he captured that time in your life in a way that I think, especially kids that age today might appreciate. But unfortunately, the movies are rated for the stupid banana scene. So. That's weird, but just go buy a ticket and go walk into 8th grade.
Or
And then,
wait for it to come to Netflix
or
or Redbox or something.
yeah, I'd say that as well. Anyways, though, yeah, I liked it a lot, but I guess I had higher expectations for it. Also, brand new in the theaters, kind of slipped in there, is a new animated film called Teen Titans, what, Chris?
Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Okay.
So it's based on a I think it's Cartoon Network, a Cartoon Network show, Teen Titans Go, which stars Robin, Cyborg, and three other ones that I'm not really
There's
sure.
like teenage versions of them. Is
Yeah,
that the like the
like
idea? Yeah.
so the Teen Titans are like they're an actual like superhero group that DC does comic books for and. You know, one of their leaders is Robin, and this kind of follows that. Except, I don't know. I didn't think it was very good.
Oh, really?
I dozed off twice. It's an 84-minute movie, and I dozed off twice. I don't normally
Do
fall
you
asleep at the movies. Like,
are you like a Teen Titans fan? Because like I've never watched any
no,
of
I
those
mean,
things, so I
I've seen like a couple episodes of Go, and it's like goofy humor. I'm not like a huge fan. I just happen to like, I like animation and I like superhero movies, and this seemed
Yeah.
like it might be kind of like in the vein of like, Lego Batman or something.
It just the trailer for it. So I know nothing about Teen Titans at all, and I saw the trailer for it like about a month ago in the theater. I was like, I wouldn't mind going to see that. I just didn't happen not to make it to go see this. Sounds like I may have dodged a bullet. I don't know.
I'm maybe
Like, I can't see. I
I
was sleeping.
yeah, I dozed. Like there's a couple songs that are like there it's actually like a weird kind of like musical hybrid, like where they sing songs and shit, and some of the songs are funny, like they're pointed and they make fun of the superhero genre, and which is really kind of fun and refreshing, and not in the way that like Deadpool does it. Like, it's way more lighthearted and very much kid friendly. I guess PG movie, but it's also like, there's a lot of like fart humor, and I think like the fart there's like the fart joke in the trailer. It's like, I don't know, it just didn't hit for me at all. The animation's fine. It looks like what the TV show looks like. It just I was not in on this movie. I was kind of looking forward to it because I thought that trailer was really good. And I came out of this going, that was a waste of 90 minutes for me. So I don't have much more to say about it than that. I wouldn't rush out to see it. I don't think it's going to be in theaters much longer anyway. It did not do particularly well. If you are a super fan of Teen Titans, go check it out, I guess. But everybody else, you could probably avoid this. There are better, funnier, animated superhero movies out there. Like Lego Batman is way above this, and I don't even think that's a great movie. So I'm gonna give it a
I
two.
noted. I won't be making. I think it's already gone from my theater, but
Really? You only have like no movies at your
yeah,
theater anyway, so
it's true. I'm actually getting like all the movies that are opening this weekend though, somehow, like
nice.
amazingly. But
The Meg, Black Klansman, and Slender Man.
I think I am getting Slenderman as well, but I'm for sure
Nice.
getting the other two. But anyways, to wrap up this episode, we're gonna talk about a movie that's been out a couple weeks because we missed recording last week. And that is Mission Impossible Fallout. It's the sixth Mission Impossible movie. First one that's kind of like a direct sequel. I mean, they're all sequels to each other, they're all one continuity, but like this one is kind of has like the same, like it follows after the events from Rogue Nation, right?
Yes.
Which, in that one, it was a terrorist group formed from former spies. This time, we found out that the remnants of that terrorist group, which is called what now? They're like the,
Oh,
they
that's a
were
good
called like the
question.
Syndicate or
They were
something.
the syndicate in Rogue Nation.
And now they're like the fucking aftermaster. So I don't know, like what the fuck they're called now. Doesn't matter. The apostles.
Yes.
They are trying to get their hands on nuclear weapons, and fucking Ethan Hunt and his crew are back to save the day once again. And it kind of has like kind of the same villain. Like the big villain from that one is in this one as like a prisoner through a lot of it. And I think that this one, that's about all you need to know of the plot. The plot is, I think, kind of the least important part of these movies. It's all an excuse for like awesome action and just awesome like sequences and setups and payoffs and shit. And I think that this movie is as good as any of the good Mission Impossible movies, because I think there is, I mean, I just watched all of them for the first time, and I feel like 3, 4, and 5, and now 6 are like almost a different thing than the first two.
Oh, I mean, the first one was 1996. Like, it is a very different thing from that. Like,
yeah, and I watched half watched part two today for the first time, and that, like,
that's a weird thing too. That's a really weird thing.
Yeah,
I think one fits in way better than that.
Yeah, like one feels like the seed for what the series became.
Yes,
and I don't know what the fuck two is, but but since part three on, like 3, 4, 5, and this one, like, I think they have all been incredibly thrilling action films.
Yes,
and I think this one is as good as any of those, if not the best of it, all of them. What say you, Chris?
I'm pretty close with you there. I think 3 kind of maybe still has the edge, just because it has, I think, the best villain, and best stakes out of them all. But this does a great job of tying everything that has been going on since J.J. Abrams' Mission Impossible 3 all the way through this one, and they've ramped it up. I think the chemistry between the team here is fantastic. I think Henry Cavill is actually pretty good. He needs to be.
I actually really like him in it.
Yeah, he's very good.
I'm not saying spoilers. Like, he's one of my more liked characters in the series. Put it that way. If you get where I'm going.
Yeah, well, that's why I was trying to avoid. Like,
I mean, it's an obvious thing, but. Whatever. Maybe direct spoilers near the end here. But.
If you haven't seen it, it's maybe not right away. There's some phenomenal action scenes. There's a bathroom fight that you see a piece of in the trailer that is brutal. It is one of the best hand to hand action scenes I've seen in like last 5 or 10 years
ever. Yeah.
And just like the everything, like the halo jump out of the airplane, the car chase, motorcycle chase, like
yes,
the helicopter chase, like,
yeah,
and it all really relies on, and this is kind of crazy, but it relies on the craziness of Tom Cruise to sell all that, because he's the one there. Like, it's not like we don't pull far away to show, oh, and then like there's a zoom in and like we see Tom Cruise in a cockpit. No, like, he's actually flying a fucking helicopter. He's the one actually jumping out of an airplane. It just works so well, and it's so believable because he's actually putting himself through all this.
Yeah, I mean, that's something worth noting for a second, for sure, because I've had a lot of fun over the last week watching the extras on the Mission Impossible Blu-rays.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the later ones, like Ghost Protocol and Rogue Nation, have, decent, half-hour featurettes about the stunts. And I don't think people realize when you say, it's Tom Cruise doing this, that, no, dude, you don't understand. He's really doing what you're seeing on the fucking movie. Like, you almost wouldn't believe it when you're seeing the movie. Like, when you see, Ghost Protocol or whatever, he's running around on the side of a building, you're like, yeah, maybe he's doing something. But, no, that, what you're seeing is basically what he's doing.
Right.
And I guess that's true here as well. Which is, insane, too, because, from what I heard of, the skydive part, it's like a minute and a half long or whatever, right? Them jumping on a plane, they land on top of a building together. There's some fun elements to it, because the other guy passes out and he has to help him not die, and that part actually ends with a great joke at the end where he's like oh, you lost your oxygen or whatever. I guess they planned it for a year and really did it and all this shit, and I guess they changed the background digitally. So it's like he could have just done it in like a wind tunnel, like with a fan blowing him up, and they could have done the same thing. But it's like he insists on actually doing this shit, which is awesome because it like, if you know that as you're watching it, that like raises your enjoyment of watching him do it because you're just like, wow, like I can't
Yeah.
believe they did this. On top of just like the action here, and then the latter half of the series is just like some of the best choreographed, filmed, like just everything about it is just very impressive and exciting. And I think like it kind of peaks here. It's like I'm with you in that I think part three is probably my favorite in a way because of the reasons you said. I think Philip Seymour Hoffman is easily the best villain in the whole series. And I think that the stakes in that movie are very clear and well defined and personal. It's, you know, he went goes after a bad guy. The bad guy is just like, I'm going to kill your wife, and like that's kind of how it plays out. There's not a lot of bullshit to that one. But where I think this one takes the cake of the series is I do think that the big set pieces, the action that you're paying to see, I don't think it's ever been better than this. I think that the chase through Paris when he's going around the Arc de Triomphe or Triumph or whatever, like in reverse, like around the circle, like going against the flow of traffic, so cool. Like the whole London part, like the big part of that was just him running for a long ass time. Still awesome, best running sequence in the whole series, and like a lot of these movies, I feel like. Like part three, like that was my favorite one going into this. I felt like the last 15-20 minutes of part three is not as good as what came before it. Like the way they take out Philip Seymour Hoffman is not that exciting.
It's
Like
a little anticlimactic,
he just gets hit by a car. Like it's like out of nowhere. You're like, okay. Here, the climax, they saved the best for last. I think that the last 20 minutes of this movie is one of the best action scenes I've ever seen. It's just so exciting. It's so awesome to see on the big screen. Like I can't wait to see it again. Like I can't wait to buy the Blu-ray and just see that part again. So I think that's where they really like top themselves here is with the climax. And that's kind of why, I'm saying this is one of the best of the whole series. And a series that has a lot of high marks, I think, from part three on. So I don't know what to say to it. I had a lot of fun with it. Like, and I liked Cavill in it as well.
Yeah, I think everybody is really great. I like Angela Bassett's character as the CIA kind of goon behind the scenes. I like that they kind of give Simon Pegg and Ving Rhames their kind of moments to shine as well. Rebecca Ferguson is great.
She is really great. The whole team, like you realize at some point, like between three and this one, that like you really like this team. Like they have really great chemistry together.
And then I really like that they brought back Michelle Monaghan to kind of like tie that piece off.
Yeah. It gives like this narrative thread that kind of is going through all of them, you know.
So it gives like it does up the stakes here at the end. And it ties everything together. I don't want it to end. I mean, Tom Cruise is 56 years old, I think. He does not look 56 years old, but I think he is. And like, I hope they continue to do these, but we're probably nearing the end of his run.
I don't know. I don't think he's human.
I maybe
Dude,
not
have
like
you watched the extras of like him doing his shit? Like I was watching the extras today of Rogue Nation, and he fucking holds his head underneath water for 6.5 minutes. I'm like, and he's 56 years old. Like, how are you doing that?
he's an amazing human being.
Like, I've always been a fan of him, but over the last month or so, just becoming like familiar with the series, I'm just like, this guy's a fucking superhero. Like, he's amazing.
Yeah,
So, anyways.
like no, and he really doesn't look like he's aged in 30 years. It's like he still
Yeah.
does look like he looks like he's like maybe like mid-30s, maybe late-30s. Like he does not look
Yeah.
like a 56-year-old dude. He's kind of timeless. I hope they continue to make him, and
I
but it,
actually do. Like,
yeah, if they
I think, go
go
ahead.
ahead.
No, I was gonna say if they ended it here, I'd be fine because this is an awesome capper to
Yeah.
the series. But if they could keep topping themselves, bring it on. I don't care. You know, like I would take another three of these at least.
Yeah. So, yeah, I hope they keep doing them, but if they don't, this is a phenomenal action movie. It's one of the best of the last decade, I would say.
Yeah.
It's right up there. So,
And how about, did you notice the score? Like, speaking of best of the last decade, like the score at points, like, felt a little like The Dark Knight to me.
okay.
Where it's
See that?
like the ticking. Like,
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the part where they're like doing the heist or whatever, and they like drive the one truck into the fucking water. Like, that whole sequence felt like the part in Dark Knight when they're transferring the Joker, like both in music and just kind of like the way that whole scene is directed and the way it plays out. I don't know. Yeah, like again, it's up there with that with the Dark Knight, I'd say. Like just in terms of how well done a movie it is and like how awesome of an action movie it is.
It's really
We
good.
really liked it.
Yes.
Chris, what's your score?
I probably seem like I'm being super generous this year with fives because I did not give them out, but I don't have really any faults with this. It was exactly what I want out of a summer movie, and I'm gonna go with a five here.
I don't think you've given away too many fives. What else did you? What else you did? Incredibles 2 and
Incredibles 2 and Black Panther, which I think is more fives than I gave out all last year.
Oh yeah, maybe. It's still not too many, and I'm gonna follow you on that. I think this is a great, great action movie. 5 stars. I'd say go see it in the theater and go see it, in the coolest theater you can. I got to see it in an AMC IMAX. And it was awesome. Like, it was fucking
Yeah.
great. The sound was amazing. It was cool seeing on a bigger than normal screen. It was easily my favorite theater experience too of the whole year so far because of all that. Most fun I had in the theater all year.
Watching it on IMAX is just so much fun too. It's like so big, so much bigger, and
Just the sound, like when they're get to the helicopter parts at the end, it felt like my whole seat was shaking.
yeah.
During the motorcycle chase, it was like phew, 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 phew. You could feel the sound going from front to back. Like, it was just, I don't know, man. This is a fun movie to go see at at the theater. And a great action movie. So
Yeah.
yeah, we are in agreement here. This is an easy five for me.
All right.
Chris, do you have plans for next week?
I do. I am going. I will definitely have seen the Meg. I ha already have
Yeah.
my ticket reserved. I'm seeing it on IMAX. I'm going to try and see Black Klansman. And I don't know. I may go see Slender Man as well.
Hey, I saw at least one person so far say they liked it, so.
Okay. So I may try and see all three of the new movies coming out.
Same. I don't know how much of that I'm going to accomplish, but I will try to. I will have seen at least one of them and hopefully two to three of them. So,
Nice.
we'll be back with that next week.
Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes! Do 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 do!